when somebody writes something to us, a lot of times you say something that gives us an idea of the connection that we share with the person that's addressing us. So even if it's junk mail, you know, dear resident of such and such Main Street, Meriden, it might say something like that. Or, you know, a politician might address us as a fellow citizens of Meriden, or, you know, my fellow Americans. But there's not a lot of significance beyond trying to create some sort of rhetorical bond. Scripture is a little bit different. So when Scripture has a kind of a device like that, oftentimes there's a lot more significance to it. So Isaiah, the prophet, when he was speaking to God's people, he began his address today by saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel." And it sounds on the surface of it like this is just, he's talking to his people. But you know who Jacob is, right? Jacob was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And you remember Abraham, the one who, as an old man, was finally given with Sarah, his wife, the son they had been promised. And Isaac was that son. And in the fullness of time, Isaac and his wife, Rebekah, also had their own children, and Jacob was one of their sons. So in a sense, what he's saying is, you who are all descendants of these people. But Jacob is a fascinating character in Scripture, and I think that there's a little bit more to this even. So one night, as Jacob was on a journey with his family, his household, and all their livestock, he sent them ahead and remained alone for the night, but not for long. A man appeared, but it wasn't a man. This is the story exactly as it appears in the Bible. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. I tell you this story because when Isaiah calls the Jews Jacob and then Israel, he's not just saying, "Hey, this is a message for you." He's reminding them that their ancestor in faith was that man. And that's important because you too are descended from him and from his entire tough, loving, faithful, flawed household of women and men. God told Isaiah to talk to the Jews and tell them some things. And Isaiah doesn't just say, "Hey, Jewish people, listen up." He says, "Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel." In other words, they aren't just supposed to hear God's words as members of a religious community that identifies with Isaiah. They're supposed to hear them as people whose spiritual granddaddy wrestled with God. And God fought Jacob hard. We know God well enough to realize that he could have defeated Jacob easily, but that wasn't really the point. The point was for Jacob to fight, to realize who he was fighting, and to fight to the uttermost limits of his strength, endurance, and ability. God needed for Jacob to fight as if his life was on the line, and so he even fought dirty. He knocked Jacob's hip out of joint, but Jacob wouldn't let go. God told him to let go. "We've been fighting all night." Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And the man, the form that God had taken in order to meet Jacob in person, said to him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Now, this was not the only time in his life that Jacob struggled, but it was probably the most important time. Jacob named the place where he fought God Peniel, because, as he put it, it was there that he saw God face to face, and yet his life was spared. That's how hard they fought. At the end of it, he felt lucky to be alive, even with a permanent limp. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Isaiah is telling the people of God, in other words, that they didn't just get born into a religion. They have inherited the qualities of their ancestors. They are their father Jacob's true children. They are the kind of people who can struggle with God and humans and overcome. They might not win every time. They might walk with a limp afterwards. They might be amazed that the battle with God, with humans, with every part of their lives can hurt so much, can leave them wounded, can test their faith and their courage so deeply, but they're still standing. Or even if they've been knocked down, they can still get back up. That is who God's people are. They aren't, like a lot of people seem to think, ethnically Jewish or culturally Christian. We, all of us, people of faith, bleed the blood of Jacob, the blood of all the patriarchs of the Jews, and all the saints of the church. When I'm reading Scripture, I understand it in a couple of ways. Firstly, I understand it as the most important way that God is speaking to us as the church. And secondly, I understand it as the way God is speaking to me in my life. So yes, Isaiah was written first to speak to Jews nearly 3,000 years ago, but these words are still the truth now and relevant now and meant for God's people even now. I'm not supposed to just glean a life lesson from this stuff now and again. I'm also supposed to realize that God has made me the son of these courageous ancestors in faith. I'm supposed to be the sort of man who can struggle with God and humans and overcome. That is who I am. My blood is Jacob's, Sarah's, Abraham's, Joseph's, and all the other patriarchs and matriarchs of the Jews. My blood is Andrew's and Peter's and Mary's and all the apostles and saints of the Christians. And not the versions we use to compliment our kids when they're behaving well. Look at little Mark. He's being such a saint. I mean the version that made souls stronger than steel and faithful even in the face of death. I mean the kind of people who walk forward in life limping because they've taken a beating, but full of life and the Spirit because they haven't been beaten. That's because we know that the Lord is with us every moment. Isaiah goes on, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Maybe there are times we doubt, and that's why we have one another. When my strength flags, I have you. When yours wanes, you have me and all these saints around you. When I say the blessing of God, you know, because that's what Jacob asked for from God after they had struggled together. I want your blessing, and I won't let go until you give it to me. When I say that blessing at the end of the service, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you always, it may seem like it's just some of the last words of church on Sunday, but I hope you know better. You have wrestled with God and humans your whole lives for it. You didn't earn it any more than Jacob. We don't earn God's blessing. It's ours whenever we want it, whenever we ask for it. But God knows you have fought long and hard enough that, like Jacob, I know that you cherish it. Amen.